This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Fuller Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. The Kansas City Chiefs got absolutely steamrolled last night by the Philadelphia Eagles. I knew the Eagles were a good team. I couldn't pick against the Chiefs. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I was going to see the blowout that I saw. It was truly shocking. I don't think I've ever seen a team as good as the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that had gone to three straight Super Bowls, a quarterback who might be the greatest to ever put on a uniform, look that bad for that long. And this season has been tough. It's been really tough around here in New York. This came to a crashing end because, one, if you're a Giants fan, it happened. Saquon Barkley is holding up a Lombardi trophy. This was a horrible game. Everything about this was horrible. And I don't think this is something just because I saw it last night. Like, there was a really bad Super Bowl down in Atlanta, the 13-3 one, but it was close. Like, there were some plays that had to be made in the fourth quarter for a team to win. As a whole, from the broadcast to the halftime show to the game to the commercials, this was the worst Super Bowl experience I have ever gone through. And I don't know how you could see it any differently unless you're an Eagles fan. Congratulations to the Eagles. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I think you just pretty much caught everything that I was going to say, but the whole thing was flat, and when the game stinks, then everything around it feels like it stinks too, so... Okay, Eddie. Just from the playing standpoint, the first couple of passes, you know, Patrick completes his first pass to Juju Smith-Schuster for a first down. His next couple of passes were to Travis Kelce, and they were way off. I mean, he was behind him on the first one, cutting across the middle, and then there was one that was going to be for a first down, and he threw it around his ankles.
Yeah.
And that was without pressure around him. So he got off to a really bad, uncomfortable start. He never looked comfortable. And then as the game wore on, it got worse because the Eagles' defensive line got better. And they just started assaulting him. And it did remind me of the 2020 pandemic Super Bowl down in Tampa when the Tampa defense got after him. And you remember we were talking on Friday saying, you know, if you want to get to him and you can get to him with four, then that's how you're going to have to beat them. And I mean, he probably took about good 12 to 15 shots in this game. And the one there in the second half where he gets hit in the face and they don't throw it was the fumble and he got hit in the face and they don't throw the flag. You know, it was just the whole thing was flat. The whole the broadcast was flat. The game was flat. The commercials were terrible. Halftime, the only word I understood in halftime was John Stockton. I heard John Stockton.
Yeah, name. I heard John Stockton. I heard A minor as well.
I didn't hear anything. I'm not a Kendrick Lamar fan. I don't listen to his music. I don't really know that much about him. I tried to look him up as the whole thing was going on. I don't know what that was, and I just. The whole thing was just, to me, it's too much. And I guess I've been a part of these Super Bowls for so many years and been a part of the pregame and halftime and postgame show, been there for, you know, halftimes, been there for some of the great Super Bowls of all time. This one will go down as one of the worst. It has to. I mean, because there was really nothing that, and I guess when the game stinks, everything else feels flat. And, you know, at halftime when the Chiefs were just getting steamrolled, you're like, this game stinks. And I don't know how you felt. I just felt it was like I was totally, like, taken out of the realm of this is going to be a great football game and a great finish. I didn't feel that. And I as soon as we got to halftime, I was like, man, Jalen Hurts' game is on. The defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles is on. Patrick Mahomes is way off. The offensive line of the Chiefs are getting just hammered, and it just felt like the game was over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it really ended on the Patrick Mahomes interception, you know, after the Cooper DeJean pick six. It was with 17-0. They had about 2 minutes to go, maybe a little less than 2 minutes to go, and the ball was pretty deep in their own end. But you're thinking, okay, they get the ball the second half. They've got a shot here at 17-0. The Chiefs defense at that point was holding it together for the most part. They were keeping Saquon a little quiet. And you're thinking, if there's any way that they get back into this football game, it's right now. It's here. And then on the first play, he throws a pick. And then it leads to the A.J. Brown touchdown, 24-0. And then just good night.
And then that pick happened because he was hit as he was throwing the ball. But, you know, Tom Brady did talk about Patrick's feet were a little bit all over the place. And that just tells me that he is just he's just off. He was just totally off. And then in the beginning of the game, it was really when it was pronounced. And this part of the game, you know, it already had started to go downhill. And I think whatever was going through his mind, I actually thought he was sick. You know, I don't know. Maybe
really?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know. I thought maybe there was something wrong with him because that's not how he plays.
But I mean, the offensive line was getting dominated.
Yeah, I know
mean,
that. But even before that, I'm like in the first quarter, he had opportunities and he was just off. He was like, we've played and you know we've thrown the ball where into the ground where you're not trying to throw it in the ground. Again, he missed Travis Kelce twice for easy first downs. I'm not easy, but still throws that he normally makes And it wasn't until late in the game where he was just, you know, heaving it up and just throwing it down that where the statistics started getting padded a little bit towards the end. But, you know, congratulations to Jalen Hurts. He gets the MVP. I mean, you could have given it to any one of these four guys on the defense that had just unbelievable statistics, whether it be interception returns for touchdowns, interceptions, tackles, sacks. They didn't blitz once against him. Not once did they blitz against him. And there was a weird play at the, I think it was at the end of the first half, where Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know what DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, when he dropped the ball, it looked like he was not expecting it. It was the strangest thing. That was the one where they showed Chris Jones collapse to the ground on the sideline after he dropped that. Yeah, on the third down. What was it, third and 11
here? I just didn't understand. I don't know what happened to DeAndre Hopkins. Like, what? Like, this is like one of the great wide receivers of his career, of his era.
Yeah, there you go. What? Right, I don't know.
I'm not saying the pass was great, but it looked like DeAndre. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like he was expecting the ball when he was wide open and Patrick Mahomes was staring right at him. It was absolutely bizarre. And
that's what I'm saying. Like that play is kind of emblematic of the way that they played. Like for three quarters, they played the football game that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like where there were opportunities and they were the team that looked like they had never played together before.
Yeah, and this team is amazing, the Kansas City Chiefs, what they've done. Having an opportunity to go for three in a row, having won three already, you know, being in all these AFC championship games, the Hall of Famers that you'll have in this group. So, I mean, all that stuff is there. But
something like this generally doesn't happen to the great dynasties in football. Actually, not generally, it doesn't happen to the great dynasties in football. And I'm just thinking about Tom Brady in that booth. And, you know, Tom is just completely prepackaged now. And he's just a guy who is hawking products and smiling. And he's just all cleaned up. But deep down in that robotic body of his was a guy that loved seeing what happened last night. There is no two ways about it. He was down 28-3 at halftime. He came back and won. Everybody's talking about the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid dynasty could be better than the Patriots. They get their ass kicked with him in the building. That inner Tom Brady competitor that used to be out there on the field prior to being this vanilla Melba Toast broadcaster is smiling ear to ear going, try again, guys. Yeah, yeah. Try again. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by the way, it was. I mean, part of the pregame show that I did see and was watching, you know, before I went to the waste management at 3 o'clock, I'm like, it was Patriot Central. It was like Bill Belichick, Gronkowski, Brady. I mean, it's over and over and over and over. I mean, it was just not. It was nonstop, and rightfully so. I guess rightfully so.
Well, I mean, Gronk and Tom Brady work for Fox, and you've got these dynasties that are going on and competing. And if they had won three in a row, that would have been something that the Patriots never did.
Yeah, but you know, they had the whole thing with Bill Belichick at the top of like right around noon or 1 o'clock, whatever it was. I mean, it was just, this Bill Belichick, he's everywhere.
Yeah, and by the way, remember when I told you that him showing up at the NFL Honors was a big FU to the NFL and all the guys who didn't hire him? How about his girlfriend putting on the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champion shirt, walking around in the year that they blew the lead? If that, I mean, oh my God.
They must have went to Costa Rica or El Salvador somewhere to get one of those.
Oh my God. I mean, think about it. So Arthur Blank was about to hire Bill Belichick. He doesn't.
Yes.
Bill Belichick now has got a 24-year-old hot girlfriend who's walking around in a shirt of the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl championship that they blew 28-3 to the Patriots. I mean, he is doing every passive-aggressive go-suck-it that you could possibly do to the NFL and the people who didn't hire him.
I mean, I knew that he was competitive. I just didn't realize how petty he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it is unbelievable.
I love it, though. I think it's great. I mean, when you've done all that winning and they don't want to hire you and they want to hire guys like Liam Cohen and 28-year-old offensive coordinators, you know, that are as old as your girlfriend and you're 70-something years old, I'd be doing these troll jobs too. I mean, my God, it's great.
He is just, I mean, it is just one after the next with the rings and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Now, supposedly, I guess she wasn't wearing one of his Super Bowl rings at NFL Honors.
No, she wasn't. It was her own.
It was her own cheerleading championship.
That's right. I know, which is even better, actually, the fact that she's a winner as well. She's doing her own winning. Winners like winners.
It's amazing. It is amazing. But, you know, it's unfortunate because we all look forward to the Super Bowl, and it was just, the whole thing was just flat.
It was a dud. It was a total dud. And this, for sure, I mean, looking at Travis Kelce's face, I think summed it all up. He was stunned. He was sad. He was confused. He didn't know what the hell was going on.
He's still good looking, though.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, he's got that going for him. But, yeah, I mean, he looked just completely taken aback at what was going on. And there's no doubt that you look at this Chiefs team differently after this ass-whooping. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you think about next year, if you are the Ravens who didn't end up facing the Chiefs in the playoffs, but if you're the Bills and some of these other teams in the AFC, they're like, man, you know, we can't get past them. Like if you're Josh Allen, you're like, holy hell, I couldn't get past them. That team?
I wonder,
that
you know,
team that sucked that bad in front of everybody?
They certainly had a bad game. But, you know, the game that would have been the game for all of us to watch would have been the Eagles versus the Ravens.
Yeah.
That would have been the game. That probably would have been the better of the two games or three games, including Buffalo, if you want to throw them in there. I feel like the Ravens would have stacked up physically with the Eagles, especially offensive line versus defensive line. And then you got the wild card that is, you know, Lamar Jackson running all over the place. But anyway, you know, it was unfortunate. It was just a really the game was just so bad.
Yeah, and they
mean, from the Kansas City competitive standpoint, from the Eagles standpoint, it was like unbelievable. Vic Fangio, Not one blitz did he call. Not one blitz. And that tells you all you need to know, because now you're thrown into a seven-man secondary and you're getting pressure with four guys, and that it's created so much mayhem. And Brandon Graham turned out to be, like, he took Juwan Taylor on one play, and I mean just steamrolled him back into Patrick Mahomes. And that's why offensive linemen like to run the ball. They want to go forward as opposed to getting, you know, like pushed backward like a number of the, and Joe Tooney the same way on the left side. Josh Sweat was just eating him alive.
And you go from when Brandon Graham gets hurt and he tears his triceps and he goes on WIP and he's crying, thinking that, you know, he let his team down by getting hurt, let the city down, he might have to retire, and then he just works his ass off to get to play in the Super Bowl, and then gets in there, makes an impact, and wins another Super Bowl championship with the Eagles. I mean, that's storybook type stuff. And that guy's a good guy. He's been a Philadelphia Eagle fan favorite for a long time, so you feel good for him. But yeah, I mean, for an Eagles fan, this is the greatest thing ever. And there is nobody hotter in sports with what they have done, not physically like good looking, but hotter in sports than Howie Roseman. This guy is the best executive in professional sports, and it's not even close.
It's not even close. So here's the thing. Here's the jet. You know, Bryce Huff, they took him. They took Mekhi Becton, of course.
Yeah.
Somehow the Jets ended up with Hassan Reddick, who only played like nine games. And Hassan Reddick was coming off of a defense that was one of the worst in the league last year at this time, as opposed to the turnaround that happened, that they became one of the best in the league and certainly showed it last night. And Howie Roseman was the guy that was making these decisions.
I mean, from Zach Bond to Cooper DeJean, both those guys with picks, one a pick six. You know, Mekhi Becton, who was a total slug when he was here, and then he's a big storyline about how he was out of the game for a little bit and what impact that was going to have. To Saquon Barkley, maybe the best free agent signing in the history of the NFL. I mean, everything. Hiring the two coordinators in the offseason, Kellen Moore to Vic Fangio.
If you remember last year around this time, because of the way that the team collapsed last year, there were questions as to whether or not Nick Sirianni was going to get fired. And they decided to keep Nick Sirianni, brought in two new coordinators. Obviously, we just talked about Howie Roseman, all the things that he did in this offseason to get them where they are. Now Nick Sirianni's contract, he now goes into a lame duck situation. As of right now, his contract ends after next season. So, you know, I mean, there's got to be an extension and a huge raise coming. There has to be.
Yeah, but Howie Roseman's probably like, hey, I won with Doug Peterson. I won with Nick Sirianni. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm good. And we could let him go if he wants too much money. Like, I'll find another guy.
And they're going to now need a new offense coordinator because Kellen Moore will be named the head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and I got a feeling Howie Roseman's going to find the right guy because generally that's what he does. And this was a team that early on in the season, you know, did not look great. They had lost to, well, I guess that Kirk Cousins stat is over with then, right?
Yes,
so
it is.
The Philadelphia Eagles end up winning, but you know, they lost that game to the Falcons. And, you know, is this team any better than it was last year? And all they did from then is just win, 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 and just blow teams out. I mean, you think about their NFC Championship game and their Super Bowl. Those are two of the most impressive back-to-back victories in those two games that we have seen.
Turnovers, defensive touchdowns. I mean, those are killers. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, to his credit, stood up there at the end of the game and basically said, I let you all down, talking to Chiefs Kingdom. And he goes, I'll be back and we'll be back, and that I can promise you. But I did not play well, and certainly he did not. And he was, like I said, he was off in that first quarter, and I was just, you know, whether his feet were bouncing around or he was just, I don't want to say nervous because he hadn't really been hit yet.
And he's a guy that doesn't get nervous. He was a different guy.
Can't explain those first two passes to Travis Kelce. I can't explain. I
mean, he had time. Yeah,
he had time and he had him open. And the really bad one was, he was behind in the first one, but the second one was just that little seam route where they've run this play 1,000 times on third and five. They've run it 1,000 times, and somehow, some way, Patrick throws it like inside and about 6 inches off the ground. And you know, Travis not even ready for it yet.
Yeah.
So he was like playing a sped up game early on in this game, and he just never ever got comfortable. And then all of a sudden the onslaught happened. And then when you're not uncomfortable and then that happens to you, then you get the performance, you know, that that we saw for the first three quarters. The fourth quarter, they scored 16 points. He was throwing the ball down the field. Touchdown pass to Xavier Worthy was beautiful, but unfortunately, too little, too late.
It's the True North Stores Beverage Clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Now, let me ask you this about some of these commercials.
Yeah.
Really, the only one I liked was the one with Matt Damon and David Beckham, which was at the end. But I felt like there was a reoccurring theme throughout the Super Bowl with some of these commercials. What was that reoccurring theme? Which I was very happy to see and very proud of and really felt good when I was watching it.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not on the same page with you. I remember the Dunkin's commercial, because Jordan Hudson was in that with Bill Belichick, and then Seal with the Mountain Dew. That was one of the most bizarre things I'd ever seen. And outside of that,
the Flesh Cowboy hat.
Flesh Cowboy hat. Yeah. That was a weird one.
But no, I did. There was not a theme to me.
It was about taxes.
No, it wasn't about taxes. It was about female empowerment. If you think about how many, like Nike had one, the NFL had one with flag football, there was the breast cancer one. There was a number of female empowerment commercials.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I felt like that was a reoccurring theme. Like, you know, go get them, girls. You can do this. You can compete against each other. And it just felt like, all of a sudden, everybody is like going, okay, this is it. We're all for female empowerment.
All right.
I know. I just felt like there was like a reoccurring theme throughout the game.
Did you see the Taylor Swift's face when she got booed when she was put up on the big screen? And she got booed because there's more Eagles fans there than Chiefs fans.
I mean, the Eagles, the Eagle fans know that she's from that area, right?
Well, they don't care. She's rooting for the Chiefs. Her boyfriend's on the Chiefs. Go screw. That's what they say.
And her dad's an Eagle fan.
Yeah, well, doesn't matter to them. She's there in all the Chiefs red. She's up there. She wants to see the Chiefs win. She wants to see the Eagles lose.
Well, she got booed. Boo. You saw who got the standing ovation.
Boo. Yes, I did. Yeah, and then a lot of cheering and
The D-Train was in the house.
Chris Jones went over, shook his hand, but yeah. Interesting stuff there in the Super Bowl. That was about the only interesting thing that happened during the Super Bowl were those things. All right, Jerry Recco is here, a little under the weather, as he told me
again?
Right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
Tell me about it. Well, hold on a second, mister. I've been sick for half the winter yourself.
I have not. I was always sick prior to Christmas.
You've been hocking up phlegm for the last 8 weeks.
No, prior to Christmas, I was very sick. That's when I, you know, brought my Navage in. Do you need the Navage?
No, I don't, actually. I don't know what I need. A new body.
How was your trip to Maryland?
Not great.
I enjoyed
Maryland's very good. Maryland's very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And this is weird, because I said to Al on Friday morning, because I was pissed at McMonagle walking around here sick, I felt it Friday morning. But then as the day went on, I felt fine. I did the St. John's UConn game Friday night, no problem. I felt not great Saturday morning. By Saturday afternoon, I felt fine. Saturday night, fine.
There
I
woke you up are right there. There you are right there.
Look at me, yes.
Woo-hoo. You got good seats at Maryland.
Yes, we do. Very much so. And so I felt good yesterday, and then I woke up this morning. I felt like crap again.
Anybody yell, Jerry Recco sucks?
No, but I did meet Harvey. Very nice. Came over, said
Silver
hello.
Silver Fox said hello, okay.
Took a picture. I met Jimmy Roberts, came over, which was very nice.
Very nice guy,
That was kind of cool. Took a photo with him. So, yeah, it was a good day, but they lost the game. Good for you. Better for you than me. But
yes.
But your friends let you down there, Boomer. They were supposed to yell, Jerry Recco sucks at Jerry the whole game, and they didn't do it.
They did not do that. He has good nice seats.
Harvey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He's at the foul
That's why
line
I can't
on the baseline.
Go with him, man, because he screams at the officials the whole game.
Yeah, well, there wasn't much to scream about yesterday if you were Maryland, so all went well.
All right, Jerry, let's hear it, man. What do you got?
We are brought to maybe the flu. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. God, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Jerry sucks.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Well,
on that.
Maggie's in here with the flu today.
Is she?
No, she told me, yeah. She's got the flu.
Is that why she missed?
Amazing.
Yeah. She tested positive for the flu.
So she wasn't hurling up beer from the night before?
No.
And she decided to come in?
She said she's good. She's got the Tamiflu and she's feeling great. That's what she told me.
The doctor's in my plans for today. Eagles, Chiefs. This is a long clip, but this was a big play. And Kevin Harlan at the end is fantastic.
It's a 3rd and 16 for the Chiefs. And a shotgun snap from their own 24. Rolling out of the pocket, Mahomes. Line track. It's intercepted at the 40. And picked off by DeGene, who comes to the near side, the 30. Got it back at the 20. Breaks a tackle, the 10. The 5 to the pylon. Touchdown! Eagles have got a pick 6. It's Cooper DeGene, a 37-yard pick 6 of Patrick Mahomes, and the Eagles are just decimating Kansas City in this first half.
And for the entire game, Kevin Harlan was one of his seats. Where the hell did they have him that it took him 30 seconds to realize who had the interception? Right, they must have been in the corner probably, right?
Probably.
You know, Super Bowl, when you were there for the studio, is that where you guys were?
We were really high up, way up high. So on the ninth floor. I don't know if they've changed it or not, but yeah, I remember. But I remember being around the 35-40-yard line. That they may have switched it so they can fit some more suites in there so they can sell some more tickets.
His comments there, though, about them decimating Kansas City, very true. 40-22, and it wasn't that close. Philly led 34-0 in this game in the third quarter. They win their second Super Bowl championship. Jalen Hurts, game MVP, 221 yards, two touchdowns, ran for 72 and another. First things first, here's Nick Sirianni on Fox Sports. We believed.
We didn't really ever care what anyone thought about how we won or their opinions. All we wanted to do is win. That's why we listened to my prerogative a little bit when we were after some wins, but thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
Bobby Brown's my prerogative?
I guess so. Here was Hurts on Fox. Forget me. You see what our defense did? They sacked Patrick Mahomes 6 times, couple of interceptions, 11 quarterback hits.
We saw how they played today. We saw the difference they made in the game, and
They gave us opportunities, gave us short fields, and we're able to do what we do.
And explain to me, there's just this one play and nothing else, and I won't ask you again, because we kill quarterbacks for making bad plays. Well, good quarterbacks don't make that play. The DeJean interception, even if he's not there, there's an Eagle defender, right? Like, what is he looking at on that play?
I was telling Gio that I felt like he was off at the beginning of the game, and it just got progressively worse as the game wore on and the pressure started, you know, mounting from the defensive line of the Eagles. Sometimes you don't see guys, and for whatever reason, he was not seeing the field great yesterday, and he certainly wasn't accurate early on in the game.
And DeJean is the one we're talking about with the 38-yard return for a score. Here he was on NFL Network. What a win against a great team.
Hell of a team. Great players, great organization. They've been winning for a long time. So it's awesome. I mean, to be here and to be able to beat them on the biggest stage, it's great.
And how can I not play Eagles clips without mentioning or referring to Saquon Barkley?
I said to the team as the week went on, you know, my confidence grew. I don't think these guys can really hang with us. I didn't think the rush defense would be that good. But shout out to Spags and all those guys over there. But we got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
And they scored a touchdown.
I'll tell you what,
that
was a physical game for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
They were not going to let him go off. And to their credit, they didn't. But Jalen Hurts did.
How about the block he had on the Jahan Dotson pass play?
Yes.
There's another stopping the blitz. Here was Andy Reid. That is a little different for us.
Spent a lot of hours doing it as players, as coaches. So it's going to hurt. They all hurt when you get to this level and these things happen. Three-peat aside or any of that stuff. That, you know, you get this far and you don't play as well as you want to, it hurts.
And here was Mahomes.
I feel bad for Pat Riley.
Oh, yeah. I know all the money that he lost.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Here was Mahomes. This one's on me and the INTs.
Those early turnovers swing the momentum of the game, and then they capitalized on them, and they scored. I mean, they scored on the one, and then they got a touchdown immediately after. So that's 14 points that I kind of gave them, and it's hard to come back from that in the Super Bowl. And so just didn't play to my standard, and I have to be better next time.
And so that's that. The NFL season is over, and now the offseason begins, and we heard from Jay Glazer on Fox.
Guys, I've learned that Aaron Rodgers flew back to New Jersey this week to meet with the Jets about his future. Met with the team head coach and the GM, only to be told that they want to move on from him.
And so that appears to be a done deal, not official yet, but we're certainly expecting that to be the case coming up early in this week, you would think, anyway. And the Niners, I guess Deebo Samuel went to the Niners and requested a trade again, and so
yes,
they've given him permission to go out and seek a trade.
Man, these wide receivers are just like toddlers, every single one of them. Even A.J. Brown last night, he's all pissed off. He's yelling at Nick Sirianni. 2 minutes later, he's in the end zone doing the dances and smiling and hugging everybody. It's just like, forever, they will always be like that. And I love it because it's entertaining, but you can go from being so mad, get me the ball, what the hell's going on, to catching a touchdown. I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I love my teammates and my coach.
The amazing thing is on the ball that he got mad at, I mean, Jalen was going to the right guy, was going to him. He just underthrew it.
Yeah.
He didn't throw it out there far enough. And then it looks like AJ comes to the sideline and screams at Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looked like. I don't know what was said. You never know. I mean, and Brady was pointing out, well, you know, he is a wide receiver after all.
Yep.
All right, NBA, Bucks 76ers, notable for a couple of reasons. We'll start with the game itself.
Lillard, crossover, in the lane, shot, it's good, and a foul.
And that was Mike Breen on ABC. Damian Lillard had 43 points. Milwaukee beats Philadelphia 135-127. So that's the game part. The other part was it was the final game in UB Brown's broadcasting career. Here was Breen and Brown on ABC.
You've been like a father to many of us, our NBA father, because you not only taught us, you encouraged us, you supported us, and you picked us up when we needed to be picked up. And that's something that for all of us, will always be in our hearts.
Can we pause as I have a tear here? All right.
Well, he's 91.
He's 91, I know that, but I'm like, it's like he's stepping down in the middle of the season.
You going to criticize Hubie Brown?
Man, I want him to go all the way through the season and then retire.
Come on, finish out, big fella.
Yeah, come on, let's go. What are we doing?
Here were not his final comments, but pretty close to.
Thanks for your patience, fans. Today was a wonderful day for my family because they're all here today. And I love you all, and thank you for the opportunity from manager.
Now, he was on with Russo earlier last week, and he has had some horrible family tragedies. People have passed away. And what's sick to me is how many people sent it to me and said, you got to play this. You got to play this. Like,
well, I think I got it sent to me, too, and I think it was one of those things where it wasn't because it was funny they were saying you have to play it. It was just, it was the story was incredible, and it was one of those things.
So
like,
sad, though.
Can you believe this, that this happened? Yeah, I don't think the people were sick. I think they were actually just thinking, man, I don't know how many people know that this happened to Hubie Brown and what's going on. It's just, and the fact that he's alive after all of that is amazing in his 90s because it's,
takes a lot out of you. You would certainly think. Saturday night, the Knicks did lose to the Celtics 131-104. Just one quick one from Jalen Brunson, who wraps it up very quickly.
Today as a whole is unacceptable.
Unacceptable, especially in front of the home crowd.
Well, first of all, they need OG. There's no question about that. But the thing is when they play these good teams, they tend to play helter-skelter. Like, it's a little bit out of control when the defense goes haywire. I mean, the Celtics couldn't miss, it felt like. They light up when they see the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally discouraging, but it's not the full healthy team, so I'm not going to go crazy about it, but it was really annoying.
Tonight, the Nets take on the Hornets on the Fan at 7:20. Rutgers did lose at number 18, Maryland, 90-81. And in golf, Tom Dietrich won the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yeah, and his baby was clapping at the end, and it was a hilarious
video. Very cool. Did you see
the
par that Spieth made? I wasn't watching it live. I saw it on Twitter. My God.
Yeah, I had some money on him, too, so I was happy to see that. But then
went down. Still kind of cool.
It was cool. It was a fun tournament, as always, and this is what you're talking about there.
I mean, it's ridiculous. The next shot out of this mess is incredible. So, that's Jordan Spieth.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Top of the hour, we will talk about the Aaron Rodgers meeting with the Jets, the Jay Glazer report, and Aaron Rodgers most likely, it seems like, reportedly not going to be a part of the Jets in 2025. But, of course, Super Bowl 59 last night, a total dud for all of us that didn't have a rooting interest in the Philadelphia Eagles. Last night, the game was bad. The broadcast was nothing memorable at all. I don't think the commercials were great. The halftime show was confusing to me. Kendrick Lamar, I know, has had an amazing career, and people out there are going to put him in a category when it comes to rappers of his generation at the top, but I don't know how many people really know his songs. Like, for a guy like Usher the previous year, even if you're someone who is not an Usher fan, you have heard those songs somewhere. You just, whether it's at a wedding or something, or it's just on the radio somewhere, or you're in a dentist's office waiting to go in, like, you've heard these songs.
Well, it's Beyonce, it's Katy Perry, it's Bruno Mars. Yeah. You know, those are all mainstream.
Well, even
acts.
Rihanna last year, or 2 years ago, it was, you've heard her stuff. With Kendrick Lamar, the one song, the Drake diss song, was Song of the Year. A lot of people know that. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know. It was, I didn't know anything.
I don't know. Maybe it was the audio or something. I don't know.
You're not the only person who's thinking that, too. That was a main theme, to not hear him. Even Gina said, do you have this volume really low, or can I not hear him? I heard
of what he was walking around in that box, whatever that was.
It was a PlayStation controller.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
That's out of my realm. I don't know. I heard John Stockton.
What? I know.
What was he screaming about John Stockton about?
It's not the right choice for a halftime show. I know he's someone who's well-respected, well-regarded, and people who are fans of his are going to love that, but it's not the right choice for a halftime show.
Nobody's saying that he's not talented.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it just was not.
It's just not. Whatever it was about the audio, there was something about the audio, because I think we all had the same problem.
Yeah, yep. And then Samuel Jackson is kind of taking him through the set, which was odd, and then all of a sudden Serena Williams pops up. Did you see her dancing out of nowhere?
I will tell you, I did like SZA.
You did like SZA, huh?
Yeah. I didn't know it was SZA until after the fact, but
I thought SZA was lip syncing.
That's what I
you
thought.
Did?
I did. I thought she was lip syncing, which was disappointing to me. It was funny because you want to talk about, like, you know, old white guy text thread. So as this is going on, you know, one guy sends, man, this, I don't like this halftime show at all. And another friend goes, what, you don't like scissor? And like,
the word scissor.
I was laughing. I was like, this is incredible. Well, hey, Scissor's got a big album out right now. So she's up there. But she wasn't out there for very long.
No.
Just a quick cameo there. Let's go to Jennifer in Long Beach. What's going on, Jennifer?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show so much. So I got a little would you rather. Who would you rather listen to for an hour? Kendrick Lamar or Tom Brady doing the broadcast?
Oh, man.
You can't even pick.
That's a lose-lose situation there. Yeah, I'm disappointed in Tom, and I guess, yeah, you know, I don't have an answer for you, Jennifer. I mean, both are bad. I think that your point was made. But I just, Tom, he's so prepackaged now, and all those things that made me like Tom Brady, the player, the, like, I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to fire myself up, and winning is the most important thing. I mean, it was to the point that he was so obsessed with winning that it cost him his marriage and his family that he admits now. Like, and just that drive to be better than everybody when he wasn't born with the most talent. Like, now he's just like he's a robot. He's a cardboard cutout prepackaged thing and with zero personality who shouldn't be doing the games because he owns a team, for God's sakes. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I the only thing I will say is that when the game is bad, it all feels bad. You know, that's the thing. And the commercials were not anything that we've come or that we're accustomed to. We always feel like there's going to be a little bit more creativity and some humor. And I think a lot of this stuff was humorless last night. And when the game is bad, then unfortunately for the broadcasters, you know, you get stuck with that.
Yeah. Our buddy Frankie Borelli from Barstool tweeted out last night, he goes, they must have paid Seal a ton of money to do that, which is true. Because, like, imagine if you're Seal, who has taken himself very seriously his entire career, you know, and guy who's a serious musician, and someone from Mountain Dew comes up to him and says, hey, listen, we want to make you an actual Seal. Like, put your face on a seal, and then you sing your most famous song, and there's Mountain Dew all around you.
20 million?
He's probably like, God, man, I mean, seriously? Like, this is the best you could do is put Seal's head on a seal. Well, here's the number. We're thinking, you know, they're probably like they slid the number across from the table. I don't know. Oh, well, I mean, a little different.
Yeah, it's a little different. Just
okay,
calm down.
Boomer.
Yeah, just calm down.
Yeah, not apples to apples, not hummus to hummus there.
Right.
Eddie.
I mean, they didn't make me into like a polar bear or something.
Right. But you're also someone who's been in entertainment now and like jokes around about yourself. Seal's never done this. Seal's been like a super
serious.
Serious person.
Super serious artist.
Then all of a sudden he's on a rock with his head on a seal's body going, kiss from a rose in Mountain Dew. You want to talk about a sellout? Jesus Christ.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.